Let me share a thought tonight out of where we were this morning. How many of you remember where we were this morning? Jeremiah 18. There's something in that passage. I'm not going to re-minister that word, but there's something in that passage that struck me again as we were reading it this morning, and I couldn't bring it forth this morning, but I just feel led to share it with you tonight. Something about the nature of following God. So if you'll turn over to the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, we'll share some of that word together. I want you to notice here as we read this passage again, how God dealt with Jeremiah. Now, I'm not concerned about the message here. The message was ministered this morning. What I'm concerned about tonight is the method that God used in dealing with his servant. Now, the Word of God says that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow due to turning. In another place, it says it more succinctly, more directly, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. In another place, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, you put all three of those together, and what they say to us is that God's the same, in simple language. God's the same. And if we'll read in the Scripture how God dealt with his servants down through the ages, then we can begin to understand how God's trying to deal with us. And if we see what his methods are and what his ways are, then we can get ourselves into harmony with those ways. We find our going a lot smoother. We find our communion with God much sweeter. And we find our life far less rocky. So let's look at the method and not the message. Now, many Christians are messed up, so to speak, in this area. Do not know how to walk with God. God doesn't walk the same way we do, the same way we're accustomed to. His ways are not our ways. They're much higher than ours. So let's read and let's look for the method. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Let's see what happened here. In the very first verse, Jeremiah said, God came and spoke to him. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Now, some would say, well, did God really speak to Jeremiah? Yes, he did. I mean, he said he did. He said the word which came from the Lord to Jeremiah. God spoke to Jeremiah, and he gave him an instruction. He said, arise. He said, get up. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Now, right at this point is where we, when we receive instruction from God, have got to decide which fork in the road we're going to take. Most Christians, unfortunately, would tend to react something like this. Why, God? I don't understand, Lord, why? To the potter's house? I don't need any pots. Lord, you want me to go down to the potter's house? How come? Ring up sister so-and-so on the phone. Sister, you got to pray with me. You got to agree with me that God will tell me what's going on. Well, what's happening? Well, God said I'm supposed to go down to the potter's house. He's going to tell me something down there. What do you think God's doing? Well, gee, I don't know. Let's pray about that. Well, I don't know how to pray. Well, let's pray in the Spirit, because God says that if we pray in the Spirit, we're praying the perfect prayer. And so here two sisters is going off on tongues across the phone. Then when I hang up the phone, do you know how much more the first sister knows? That much. This is one question God's not answering. You can pray your tongue off and get nothing from God. What God is requiring of us is simple, pure obedience, not understanding. Do you notice that Jeremiah didn't say why? We want God to lay out the whole program before we embark and take the first step. Jeremiah, fortunately, wasn't like that. God said, arise and go down to the potter's house. Read verse 3. Then I went, he said. Then I went. Now, that's a good example. Then I went. Not then I tried to find out what was going on. Not then I begged God and beseeched him to tell me what he was doing. Then I went. In simple obedience, I went to the potter's house. I didn't have the foggiest idea what I was doing at the potter's house. All I knew was that I felt God speaking to me and telling me to go to the potter's house. And I have learned in walking with God all these many years that when God says do something, that he's not wasting my time, that if I'll go on and do it, then he'll tell me step two. But until I take the first step, nothing is going to happen. You know, it's kind of like getting saved. God says, believe on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Well, I don't know if that would make any sense to me. What do you mean, believe on the name that you'll be saved? What's he talking about? What's it like to be saved? No, just believe on the Lord. Just believe on the Lord, be saved. No questions, just action. Just do it. Just do it. Jeremiah did it. Then I went down to the potter's house, and when he got there, he said, behold, I saw a work that was on his wheel. And the vessel, I saw what happened, that the clay had been marred in his hands, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Verse 5, this is key. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying. Now the key word in there is then. When? After he went down to the potter's house. Not before he went to the potter's house, after he went to the potter's house. God wanted to reveal a truth to his man Jeremiah. He wanted to show him something that was important. He wanted to show him something about the nation of Israel. And then he wanted him to tell the people about it. But the only way he could get that message across was to get him down to the potter's house. Now, if Jeremiah had refused to go to the potter's house, he never would have had the revelation of God concerning the pot. He never would have had the revelation of God concerning God's molding in his people, what we were talking about this morning. He never would have seen that. He had to first go. Then, okay, here's the key words then. Verse 2, God says, arise and go. Verse 3, then I went. Verse 5, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. I find in my walk with the Lord, and it's one of the hardest things that I have ever had to learn with God. And that is to live one day at a time and take one step at a time, not knowing where the next one is. And I may have shared with you once before how the Lord had ministered this truth to me, I don't know, a year or two ago when I was struggling with this. I used to be a very impatient man. I'm not anymore. I'm very patient. I used to be terribly impatient. I was terribly impatient with God. He never moved fast enough for me. And he never told me enough about what he was doing. And it frustrated me. Because I figured if I knew what he was doing, see, and I didn't consciously think this, but this is the way I was acting. If I knew what he was doing, I could get down there and get it done, you see, before he get too concerned about it. Well, God's not interested in that. He wants us to obey him and walk by faith. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And I think I used this example with you once before. And I'm going to say it again because I believe it's worthy of explanation. And I think it'll help you to understand the point that I'm trying to make here tonight. And the purpose behind sharing this truth is that if you'll get this truth down in your spirit and operate on it, you will lead a less frustrating life. Many Christians are frustrated because they do not understand what God's planning for them tomorrow. God didn't intend for you or me to understand what tomorrow held. All he meant for us to do was to, in faith, trust him that he holds tomorrow. It's not important what's going to happen tomorrow. What's important is that he is in charge of what happens tomorrow. And he wants us to learn to walk that way and to live that way. Jesus said in the sixth chapter of Matthew, he must have five, six, seven times, he said, take no thought for tomorrow. He don't be concerned about tomorrow. He said, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, and all the rest of these things will be taken care of. Don't you be concerned about tomorrow. Well, I got to make a decision concerning thus and so. Baloney, forget that. Today, worship and praise and love God, and tomorrow he will give you the decision. Not today, you don't need it today. Well, I don't have a job tomorrow. You don't need the job till tomorrow. Wait till tomorrow and he knows you need it. He'll give it to you. I don't know what I'm going to eat tomorrow. You may not know what you're going to eat, but bless the Lord, he knows what you're going to eat. And he will have it for you tomorrow. You don't need it today. You need it tomorrow. And tomorrow he'll have it for you. And that's trusting God. That's living the life in the Spirit. That's the way God wants us to live. Now, learning how to live that way is not necessarily easy, because it calls for trust and faith in the Lord God. It calls for denial of self and complete trust and reliance on him. But I can tell you that when you learn how to rely on God, that's when peace and joy, true peace and true joy, enters your life. You're not concerned about tomorrow, because you know he's already got it under control. That's where peace comes from. It's the world that's worried about tomorrow, not the body of Christ. God's taken charge of tomorrow, not you and not me. The Lord gave me this example. He said, if I wanted you, and he's talking to me, he said, if I wanted you to go to Chicago tomorrow, he says, this is the way I would do it. I would tell you, go pack a bag. But you would probably say to me, why do you want me to pack a bag? I'm not going anywhere. Are we taking a trip, Lord? Where are we going? How are we going to get there? All I said, son, was pack a bag. But why, Lord? I'm not going anywhere. I haven't made any arrangements. Don't have any tickets. This and that and the other I'd have to get arranged for. Pack a bag. Why, Father? Am I going somewhere? Pack a bag. See, that's the worst way to get any answers from the Lord. He just won't answer that question. The why question. He won't answer it. He won't answer it. Now, you keep asking it if you want to, but you will die in your frustration, because he's not going. You see, you're not going to put him over a barrel and get him to answer the why question. He just won't answer it. And he said, so if you will go and pack the bag, then I will tell you, go get in your car. And you will say, why, Lord? Why, Lord? Where are we going? Get in your car. But, Lord, I got to tell somebody where I'm going. I got to make arrangements. Get in your car, son. And so finally, after 3 days or 3 weeks or 3 months of wrestling with the Lord, why, I would go get in the car. Then he would say, go up here and get on I-20 going east. Why, Lord? Where am I going? Am I going to Atlanta? Just go east on I-20, son. Just drive east on I-20. Well, Lord, how far are we going? How much gas do I need? Am I coming home later today? What's going on here, Father? Just drive east on I-20. That's the way it works. But, Lord, where do you want me to turn? I got to be ready to make the turn. Just drive, son. So as you get down around 285, he would say, take this exit towards Chattanooga. Why, Lord? Why, Lord? Where am I going? Am I going to Chattanooga? Now, see, all the while, he knows that we're going to Chicago. See, he knew it right from the very beginning. Now, we could probably make the trip to Chicago in 2 days. But the way I would operate, it would take 3 years for me to get to Chicago. Because of all the whys. And I wouldn't obey, you see, until I'd get the next step. And I want to know, where are we going? God does not operate like we do. What you and I want to do is we say, the Lord say, pack a bag. And we say, why? And he say, you're going to Chicago. And we say, okay, fine, I'll go down to AAA and we'll get them to map us out a route. And we'll make the reservations a long way, get it all taken care of. That's not the way God works. He says, pack the bag. Now, if we will learn, you see, to pack the bag. When he says, pack the bag, you pack the bag. And when your wife says, where are you going? Say, I don't know. I mean, that's the truth. You don't know. If you knew, you'd tell her where, but you don't know. All God said was pack the bag. Now, she may think that you're a fool. Likely she would. But God's word said that not many wise are called. Didn't he? Didn't he say that in 1 Corinthians 1? Not many wise are called. That God has used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I was driving out from Atlanta one afternoon, and as I was coming along, my office there is on Fulton Industrial Boulevard, and I was going to make the exit to get off Fulton Industrial Boulevard to go down to the office there. And as I came, just before I got to the exit, the Spirit of the Lord just whispered on the inside, "Don't get off here, go straight." Well, I didn't have much time to make a decision. I didn't have a time for a lot of whys. And so I just went on straight. And I was driving down the highway, and I was wondering, you know, what's going on? And what am I going down here for? There's no reason for me to go this way. I wanted to go that way. But as I drove along, when I got almost to the next exit, which was the Six Flags exit, the Spirit of the Lord just witnessed on the inside of me, "Get off here." And I got off there. He said, "All right, get back on I-20, go back the other way." And I did. I went underneath the underpass, got back on I-20, coming back the other way. And I said, "Lord, why'd we do that?" He said, "I want to test your obedience. I want to test your obedience." That's all he was concerned about. Would I obey him? Would I do what he asked me to do without a lot of garbage talk, you know, a lot of whys and wherefores and all this, you see? It's a wonderful, peaceful life in Christ to learn how to trust him every day. Now, the Lord will ask you to do some real strange things on occasion. Sometimes to test you, most of the time to teach you. To teach you. Let's suppose that we are living in the last days. Let's suppose that things get very difficult here in our country. Let's suppose that it's extremely difficult to get food. And let's suppose that the only way that God could feed you would be to send you down to the Dog River where he had a raven. He did that for a man one time by the name of Elijah. He sent him by the brook Cherith. And Elijah went there, and the raven brought him flesh every day and bread every day. And in the midst of famine, God's man was fed. But suppose God said to you, "I want you to go over to the Dog River." "Why, Lord? What's over at the Dog River?" "I don't need the Dog River. I need some bread, Lord. Lord, I need some food in my closet. Don't you see my family's going hungry, Lord? I'm hungry. I need some food. I don't need a long walk to the Dog River. Why, Lord?" Instead of simply going to the Dog River, trust in God. God wants us to know how to hear his voice, and he wants to know how to obey him. We must be schooled in that. Turn back in the book of Jeremiah a couple of chapters to the 13th. Here's another example of the man Jeremiah. And God asked him to do a strange thing. And he obeyed him step by step. And the revelation came as Jeremiah obeyed the Lord. Watch for it. Verse number 1. "Thus saith the Lord unto me, Go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water." "Why, Lord?" No, doesn't say that, does it? "So I got a girdle, according to the word of the Lord." In other words, I did exactly what he told me, and I put it on my loins. "And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying," when did the word come? After he obeyed the first instruction. Verse 4. "Take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise and go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock." "Why, Lord?" That didn't make any sense. I just bought the thing. You want me to go down to the river and hide it in the ground? Lord, that's dumb. I sure can't tell anybody about it. They'll think I'm nuts. Verse 5, so I went. Praise God. Don't you like Jeremiah? You know, when you see this kind of thing. So I went and hid it by Euphrates. How? As the Lord commanded me. I did just what he said. And it came to pass after many days. Long time passed. Long time. That the Lord said unto me, arise and go to Euphrates and take the girdle from thence which I commanded thee to hide there. Now Jeremiah might have even forgotten about it, but God didn't forget about it. He knew it was still there. Many, many days later, the word says, he came back to Jeremiah and he said, okay, go down there and take the girdle up. Why, Lord? No. Verse 7, then I went to Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred and it was profitable for nothing. Now, most of us would think that God had gone off his rocker, or that we had just missed the Lord. I mean, we just flat missed him. He just went right on by. But he obeyed what he felt was the Lord. Verse 8, key word, then. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be to me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory. But they would not hear. God wants Jeremiah to prophesy to the people. He wants to tell them something. And so he puts them through this lengthy experience. But Jeremiah faithfully on each instruction does exactly what God tells him to do. And then he gets the next piece of the puzzle. I don't know what it is that you call this game that that people play, young people, I guess, play, that where they give you an instruction and it says, go here and look under so-and-so and you will get the next instruction. What do you call that game?
Scavenger hunt.
No, that's not a scavenger hunt. I don't think so. Well, let me explain the rest of the game and then maybe you'll know what it is. Go so-and-so and around this corner and in this very complicated place and look under this rock. And when you get there, there's another piece of paper. And it gives you another instruction. And it says, go over here and look around this place on and in this crazy kind of a place. And you go and do that exactly as it says. And there's another instruction. And then it says you go over here and then you take three paces past this and five backwards and four upside down. And you look there and you will see thus and so. Treasure hunt, isn't it? Yeah, not a scavenger hunt. Treasure hunt. That's what it is. Well, that's exactly the way God wants us to operate. Just exactly like a treasure hunt. We take one instruction at a time, and when we'll obey the one instruction, God's always there when we're in obedience to give us the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Now, as I said this morning, the option for us as believers is not whether or not God's going to function this way. The option is whether we're going to live the Christian life in a frustrated manner or whether we're going to live it in peace. God wants us to operate in peace. And the way we operate in peace is simple obedience, following his instruction exactly as he tells us, when he tells us to do it, without concern for what the fullness of that plan is. I can tell you that today, as we are operating here in this local body, we're doing just exactly what God's telling us to do, moment by moment and step by step. I, for one, I desire to know what it's going to be like around here in 20 years if Jesus doesn't come. Wouldn't you like to know what kind of a place Water of Life is going to be in 20 years? What it's going to look like around here and what kind of ministries God has for us and that sort of thing? I would really like to know that. But I'm not beating down God's door to find out. When he's ready to reveal that, then I'm ready to receive it. And along the way, he has many, many instructions for us, one at a time. Not really knowing what that future is, but just knowing that he holds the future. I pray that what we've shared here tonight out of Jeremiah will be a benefit to you. I pray that it'll help you. And if you'll allow that word to just come into you and allow it to get down in your spirit and resolve to just obey God, whatever he tells you to do, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what you think of it, if you believe it's God, do it. If you believe it's God, do it. Even if you make a mistake, he'll redeem that. He's able to, you know. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that we are not responsible for the future. You are. We thank you tonight, Father, that you have not saddled us with obligations or responsibility for making the future happen. You have that responsibility. We thank you, Father, that you have taken all of those cares and concerns off of us so that we might really live this life at liberty with the fullness of your peace. Thank you, Father, that you have delivered us out from under the heavy burden. For you said through the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ that your burden was light and that your yoke was easy. We see, Father, as we see this truth that you've shared with us tonight, why you said that. That your yoke is easy. That your burden is light. Because we need only be concerned for the day and not for tomorrow. You're concerned for that. And you know, Father, that if we need to make plans today for something that happens tomorrow, that you'll show us today concerning those things. And that which you do not choose to show us is of no concern to us. We understand, Father, that we are children of God. And that we are to live the life in the Spirit as children. Just like our children today, Father, our little ones, in the natural. They're not concerned about where the next meal is going to come from. They know Mom and Dad is going to provide it. They're not concerned about tomorrow or the next day or the next day. They're concerned about today. They're enjoying life. They're happy. And we know, Father, that that's exactly the way you want us to be. Because you have made provision for tomorrows, all the tomorrows. So, Father, we right now, as your children, we just lean back in your arms. We just rest, Father, in that assurance that you already have tomorrow under control. And, Lord, we're just totally unconcerned and taking no thought for the things of tomorrow, but resting and rejoicing in knowing you and in the opportunities that you've given us tonight to praise you and to worship you. Father, ever keep us by your Spirit and by the guidance of your Word as children in the kingdom of God, perfectly trusting in you, our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, that's really a wonderful analogy, isn't it, with the little kids. You know how little kids are, they're real happy, and you know the reason they're so happy? Because they're not worried. Because they know you all are. Not actually, but you understand the point I'm making. They know that you're going to look after them. They have confidence in you. And God wants us to have that kind of confidence in him so that we'll have the same kind of joy. We'll have the same kind of happiness. Not be frustrated. Not be worried. And, you know, I think about the world that's round about us, the people that see us, our relatives and friends and people that we work with and neighbors and so on. If they see Christians bogged down with the same concerns and the same cares and the same weights that the world wants to put upon us, why would they want your Christianity? Really? Why would they want what you have? I tell you what I got, everybody wants. Praise God. I tell you what I got is the real article. And I know what you've got is the real article too. And people want that real article because there's joy in it. There's peace in it. There's assurance in it. See? Our God's concerned about it. He's looking after us. He's providing for us. And the longer I live in the family of God, the greater is my confidence in him.
I'm only a little over 4 years old in the Lord, so I'm still a child. And many of you are older than I am in the family of God. I'm still a little kid. But as I'm growing up in God, I'm getting such a confidence in my heavenly Father. Man, I know He can do it all. Everything He does good. He never ever lets me down. I don't ever have a need that He doesn't satisfy for me. He's a blessed, wonderful, precious heavenly Father. And I know as I get older, He's taking me more and more into His confidence. I'm understanding His ways more. Don't you feel that way? Aren't you understanding His ways, how He does things more? God wants us to know that. The same as you with your children as they grow up. You teach them. You teach them, you see? And God's teaching us too. This is very important, what we have shared tonight. It's a very important lesson in living the Christian life. And I know God meant it especially for us today.